So what do you do when your government calls evil good and good evil? Romans chapter 13 tells us to submit to governing authorities, but what about when those authorities demand we disobey God? From golden calves to killing babies, scripture is packed with examples of evil governments and faithful believers who said, nope. Listen in as we explore when it's time to stand up, fear God, and refuse to bow. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That is fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. Sometimes I'm asked, what's the difference between the two? Well, fpiw.org is all of our educational pieces, and fpiwaction.org is all of our activation pieces. So if you want education, go to the FPIW. If you want action, you go to fpiwaction.org. Hey, we are in a series called Government Authorities, and we have taken this portion of scripture and kind of broke it down into 2 days. So yesterday was when government is good. Today is when government is evil or bad. And so the title is Subjection to Governing Authorities. And our question is, when are we to be subject to a governing authority? And so let's read in Romans chapter 13. And again, yesterday I covered the good. Today we'll cover the evil government. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinances of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise the same. For it is a minister of God for your good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. But if it is minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you are to pay taxes to rulers. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due. So, what if we're trying to do good, but the government is trying to convince us to do evil? So that's what we're going to look at today. Yesterday, we looked at a good government. Today, we're going to look at an evil government. And I think one of the greatest examples, let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 12 and to look at some of these different kings that we had in the Old Testament and to think about. You know, there was good kings that it says, hey, they had favor with the Lord or they pleased God. And then there was bad kings. So in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 25, it says this. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill of Ephraim and lived there. And he went out from there and built Peniel. Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom will return to the house of David. If this people go out to sacrifice in the home of the Lord of Jerusalem, then the heart of the people will return to their Lord, even in Rehoboam. And it says, and they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So the king consulted and made two golden calves. Have you noticed that golden calves have always gotten Israel into trouble? So these golden calves, and he said to them, It is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold, your gods, O Israel, they brought you up out from the land. He set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. So here we have an evil king who's saying, hey, I'm giving you false gods, and so I want you to worship them. Now, would Romans chapter 13 say, well, you got to be subject to them, the king said. Let me ask you this. When you stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, are you going to be able to blame your government when they ask you to do evil, even though you know the scriptures? Think about that. I don't think God's going to let you blame them. I mean, we have too many other stories where God said, nope, not going to work. Let me show you one. Exodus chapter 1, verse 15. Now, this is before, obviously, Kings. So Moses is leading the people of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery, into the promised land. It says, the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Sherephrah, and the other whose name Puah. And he said, when you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth and see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then you shall allow her to live. But midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but let the boys live. You see that? The midwives had a fear of God. Your fear of God has to always trump any other call of the government. And so he says they had a fear of God. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and let the boys live? And the midwives said to the Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwives can get to them. So here they have a fear of God. Here they did not kill the kids. Here they tell a lie, in essence. It says they give birth too quickly, and that doesn't say that everywhere. It just says they had a fear of God. Look at verse 20. So God was good to the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. Because the midwives feared God, he established households for them. Okay. Think about that. Let that sink in just a little bit. Midwives disobey Pharaoh or the king. Midwives basically tell a lie. They say, hey, this is this. And yet God said, hey, they did what was right. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3. Here we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king comes before them and says, listen, King Nebuchadnezzar says, listen, bow your knee before my golden idol. Worship me and do what I have to say. And if you read in Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 30, which is quite a few verses, it will lay out for you the entire story. And I love this because they had this principle operating inside of them. And they said, listen, we're not going to bow to your king. You've given us a command, and we're not going to do it. So Daniel, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were, the furnace was, you know, cranked up really, really hot. Let me read in verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expressions was altered towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he answered by giving orders to heat the furnace seven times more than usual. And the valiant warriors, he commanded certain valiant warriors who were in the army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of the blazing fire. So here he gets it really hot. And I love this because they are just going to do what they need to do. Why? What was the principle? Look at verse 17. If it is be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. He will deliver us out of your hands, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden calves or the image that you have set before us. So this is a matter of standing up for the things of God and saying, enough is enough. We're not bowing our knees to this stuff. This is garbage. All right, final one I'm going to give you is the New Testament, Acts chapter 5. And this is when we see Peter, I believe it is, and they are asked by the council of the priests to stop preaching the name of Jesus. And they basically say, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to obey you. And we're going to preach the name of Jesus no matter what. So we have our final example, 5:27-32. It says, when they had brought them, they stood them before the council, the high priest, questioned them, saying, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. All right, so we looked at. Now, are there any contradictions in Scripture? Absolutely not. So what do we do? We have Romans 13 saying, be subject to all governing authorities. And then we have story after story. And these are just the tip of the iceberg that say, hey, don't obey an evil government. What do we do? Which one's right? Which one's wrong? Well, remember, the premise of Romans 13 is, if you do evil, the government will punish the evil. If you do good, the government will give you the praise the same. So the premise is the government is standing for righteousness, not unrighteousness. That's the context. And when you have that, all these other Bible verses make sense. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that our government will stand for righteousness, stand for life, parental rights, biblical marriage, religious freedom, and so much more, God. We just pray that they will line their hearts. They'll line their hearts with the Bible, God. Go before us in all things. Surround us in all things. Give us wisdom. We ask for Bob Ferguson's salvation, for President Trump's salvation. We ask that you would do something amazing, God. Help us as we go into the public square today to be salt and light to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.